Hello and welcome to the Beacon Group's Noon Step Meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Jackie and I am an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speakers, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend, but we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual awakening, and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting, except while the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from our AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, and I will time. Then we will split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. And I have asked Robert to read the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you, Robert. Can you unmute yourself, Robert?
Robert Alcoholic. Is that better?
That's great. That's all great. Right. Thank you, Robert.
Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. praying for only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Twelve, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry the message out, no, message to alcoholics to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Robert. Thank you. Really appreciate that.
Yep. You're welcome.
Today, we're going to hear a talk on step three. And step three, again, is made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Please give a warm welcome to Beth R. from Belmar, New Jersey. Thank you so much, Beth, for being here. Really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure and my honor. I am Beth. I am an alcoholic for sure. Yes, and I live at the Jersey Shore, which was crazy this weekend, but I made it through. Just to qualify, my sobriety date is May 19th, 2004. I just celebrated 19 years of sobriety in May and couldn't have done it without step three. So I'm very, very grateful to be here. Just a little background on myself. I am the oldest of eight children, raised Irish Catholic in a Catholic household where God was a punishing person that, you know, if you did something wrong, you committed a sin. We had venial sins, mortal sins. So it wasn't the relationship I have with my higher power now. Let's put it that way. I got sober because of God and only that. I'll give you a little tiny background and then I'll get into the step. On May 19th, 2004, I had horrible abdominal pain after leaving a friend's house. I had said I was going to stop drinking. I had thought I needed to stop drinking. I was working full time. I had no consequences, except for losing myself and my soul, which is very important. I really had no DUI. I had a job. I worked 3 to 11. I'm a nurse working in a crisis unit, telling all of you not to drink. And I was going home and getting drunk. So that wasn't sitting well. And I knew, I talked to my therapist. I knew I needed to stop drinking. And I tried that year a few times and I just wasn't successful. And then God took over. I had a bowel obstruction that night. So I went to the hospital and was put in the hospital for 5 days. So God separated me from alcohol. That's the bottom line. I didn't do it myself. I was separated and that was my last drink. Thank God. So, but step three, you know, it's the first action step. It's the first time that we're physically and mentally and spiritually doing something actively to maintain our sobriety. And like I said, I always had a great relationship with God, but it wasn't, it was a punishing God. I drive around, and it's so funny, I drive around in my car, and I do, must admit, I do say a couple of profanities once in a while when I'm driving. But if I catch a yellow light or if I miss an accident or something, I always say, thank you, God. I say, thank you, God, probably 25, 30 times a day. It's just something I've gotten used to because I truly believe that there's a power greater than me that's running my life right now. Thank God, because I didn't do such a great job of running my life. But that didn't sink in for a while once I got sober, because it's a hard concept, especially if you're an alcoholic like me. I'm in control. I don't want anybody else to be in control of my life. Now, don't get me wrong. I still plan things. I still pay my bills. I still do things like that, things that you have to do to maintain your life. But I do truly believe that God has a path for me. And I'm only on it for the ride. you know? So to get to talk about the step a little bit more in depth, you know, I opened up my big book, and as you can see, there's lots of writing in my big book because I've gone through the steps a couple times, and I'm currently in a 20-week intense step study meeting tonight from 8 to 9. I go to a women's meeting 6 to 7. Then I go to a step meeting from 8 to 9 that goes through the steps intensely. So even at this amount of sobriety, I still need to review and go back and reaffirm my, and doing things like this helps me stay sober. So in the big book on page 62, is right before the step starts, and it says, this is how and why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that hereafter in this drama of life, God was going to be our director. And that was what I had to really, truly believe for me to stay sober. I don't know about anybody else, but for me to stay sober, I really need to think that somebody else is helping me, guide me through this life. Also, you know, you have to be convinced that any life, this is from page 60, any life run on self-will is hardly a success. And I did that so many times, trying to, you know, control my drinking, think about stopping drinking, you know, all that stuff I talked to my therapist about. And I had fired one therapist years ago because she told me maybe I should stop drinking. I said, no, I don't want to hear that. I wasn't ready. My drinking escalated. I had gastric bypass surgery in 1996. And so I was very overweight. And food is really my first addiction, but anything's my addiction. The only thing I can't get addicted to is exercise, and I keep trying. But anyway, food was my first addiction. And when I was separated from food, that's when the alcohol started escalating, because I just switched addictions because I didn't have a program. So there are many, 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 many weight loss surgery people in Alcoholics Anonymous for the same reason. So I had to realize that I wasn't doing such a great job running my life. So I had to start depending on somebody else to do that. And in my case, I call that other power God. It doesn't have to be God. It can be anything. You know, you don't have to be a religious person to be in this program. So I always like to stress that. Now, in the step book, under step 3, and thank you for having me, you know, relive all my steps and all this work, because I'm doing it at night anyway. I have highlighted and underlined that there is only one key, and his is called willingness. And I recently spoke at the psychiatric unit where I used to send patients. I worked in the ER, in the crisis unit. We'd send people up to be hospitalized. And there was this young girl, she's 60 now. I have known her for 40 years, and she is still struggling. So she says she has willingness, but I, you know, my perception of that is she totally hasn't let go yet. And I pray for every night. I've prayed for her for years. And here I ran into her again, which I call a God moment, because it reminded me, you know, what could have happened to me if I hadn't grabbed onto this program. And then later on page 35 in the step book, it says, once we have placed the key of willingness in the lock and have the door even so slightly open, we find that we can always open it some more. That was so important to me in my early sobriety, because I wasn't ready to just slam that door open and jump into this program both feet. You know, I was a nurse. You know, I had skepticism. I had heard of AA. I had gone to people's celebrations in AA. I have relatives. My baby sister is 30 years sober. My sister-in-law is 32 years sober. You know, I had people in AA in my life, but, you know, the old saying, you can't drag a horse to the water. And it's really true. I am fortunate enough that I came into this program and grabbed on and stayed here. But I also respect so much people that aren't that fortunate and may have a slip, but come back and put their hand up. Because God knows, I don't know if I could do that. So I'm not taking that chance. So, you know, and I have like different things in my book. You know, it's highlighted. It's funny because as you go back through your books, or at least as I go back through my book, I think about the sponsor, because I've had a few sponsors, the sponsor that I was with when I did this and the sponsor that had me highlight this. And everybody has a different path. The step meeting that I'm going to, like I said, it's 20 weeks. It was from the end of June till like November 1st. And I'm only going to miss 2 weeks because I have a trip planned. But, you know, I'm really committed to that. And my sponsee is coming with me, which is really cool, because then we sit down on Friday and we review what we did. So it's so important to have somebody to run all this stuff past. I also will share with you that I always, and this is not to make you feel sorry for me, not to look up, you know, but I had a lot of losses in my life. I lost a brother when I was 13. My brother died of a brain tumor. He was 4 years old. And my other brother doesn't believe in God because he says, why would God do that to a child? You know, he questions it. I think of it as a nurse, as, you know, when people die and you've heard the stories, they see that light and every, to me, two things happen. Either you see that light and all your questions are answered, or it doesn't matter anymore. And I'll take either of those. Not that I'm in any hurry to get there. But so during my life, and then I had a brother who took his own life 20 years ago. He had been abused. He abused one of my sisters. He lived with demons, and I felt so sorry for him. And I thank him when I celebrate, because I always say my brother Robert showed me where I could have gone, because he took his own life because of his demons. And although I never actively thought about that, there were days where I didn't care if I lived or died. If I hadn't woken up, that would have been fine. As I laid there on my couch where I'd passed out the night before with a big bruise on my side, and maybe I had peed myself, you know, and the red wine was spilled all over the place. It wasn't glamorous and it wasn't pretty. And I'm so happy I don't have to do that anymore. And that's one of the best things about sobriety, is that you don't have to feel that way ever again. So now I have, you know, a toolbox that I use, like we talk about. You know, I know to call another alcoholic. I know to reconnect to the program. I was feeling a little disconnected a few months ago, and I jumped back in, and now I do more commitments. I go to more meetings. I talk to sober people more. And then 4 years into my sobriety, I lost my sister, the one that my brother abused. She died of a heart attack out in Texas. And then my mom died 6 weeks later. So, but I have to tell you, I went out to Mineral Wells, Texas, which is a cultural shock to someone from the, you know, New York metro area. It's very rural out there and very alcohol oriented. And my sober sister and I went out to my sister's memorial. And when I flew back, my three best sober sisters were waiting for me when I got home, and embraced me and helped me through that tough time. My mom was at all my celebrations until she died. So she was a very important part of my sobriety. And I miss her dearly, but I always say she's in heaven with the three kids that needed her the most. So, and that's okay. And someday we'll hang out again. So getting back to the step, like I said, raised Catholic and thinking of God as a punishing God, I was grateful to be able to switch that thinking to a God that supports me, a higher power that's there when I'm in bad times. The serenity prayer. My mother had that serenity prayer in our kitchen my entire life. When she died, it was on the front of her funeral, her little handout that we did at her funeral. She was very connected with God. And that was great. She went to church every day of her life towards the end of her life. And I thought that she used to say to me, but you don't go to church. I said, Mom, I'm a nurse. Don't you think that God knows the work I do and that I can give back that way? So we had a little agreement about that. So anyway, so back to the book on page 63, it says, we are now at step three. Many of us to said to our maker, as we understood him, God, I offer myself to thee. So that's third step prayer. And, you know, and further down the page, it says, this was only a beginning, though if honestly and humbly made an effect, sometimes a very great one was felt at once. And I think that's what people talk about, that spiritual awakening. Some people have this blatant, you know, whoa, spiritual awakening. And sometimes it comes slowly, just like everything in AA, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. But if you stick with it, it comes. And you have, you know, this wonderful support group. I keep, you know, I was a psychiatric nurse. And I always say, if everybody had a program like this for the difficulties they have in their life, my God, first of all, counselors would be out of business. And also, you know, it would help each other because I have a sister who tends to be a, you know, God lover. She tends to be one of those people that can complicate anything. And I feel bad for her because it's very hard being in her head. And sometimes she says to me, and my other sister says to me too, how do you stay so calm? Like you deal with everything. And I say to them, I have this program, you know, I have this program that's taught me how to live life. It's a design for living. And it truly is. And if you had said that to me back in my drinking days, I would have said, you're full of it. You know, I'm not going to believe that stuff. But when I walked into my first AA meeting, first of all, I called my counselor. I left a message on his voicemail. We're going to have a lot to talk about this week. I'm going to my first AA meeting. And of course, I went to one not in my town because God forbid somebody knows me, you know, and it was an open speaker meeting. And I heard my story like we all do when we hear, no matter who talks, no matter what happens, you can always grab a bit of what somebody is saying. So, you know, it takes a while. It's not an immediate thing, you know, just like it says at the end, you know, what an order, I can't go through it, that do not be discouraged and don't be. It is, you know, some people jump right into this program and get it and grab on. And, you know, I grabbed on for dear life. It was, you know, I had no choice. But then again, like I said, I had no jail, no DUIs, nothing. But losing my own soul and losing who I really am was the worst part of my alcoholism. I turned into someone who I wasn't. You know, I would stay home. I'd close the blinds. I'd turn the phone off. I'd be sitting there in my pajamas, drinking red wine till I passed out. You know, and that was my deal. Never went to work drunk, went hungover. One of my first amends was to the social worker that I worked with. I apologized to her for how cranky I was at work. But then when I like I said, when I grabbed onto God and realized that I wasn't in charge, my God, it makes life so much easier. It really does. Like I told you, I went through some really tough things in sobriety. I've been hospitalized in sobriety, you know, for medical reasons. But I always go back to, you know, saying my little prayer. And every night when I put my head on the pillow, I thank God for my warm bed, having a home, having a program. And I do a little gratitude list every night. And it's nothing that I write down. It's just between me and God. And I have a little chat with God. So if anybody is struggling, and there are people that are agnostics and atheists in AA, and that's okay. Because you don't have to believe in a God, just that something else is in charge. You know, and like I said, it makes life so much easier. And like it says, step three, God as we understood him. So, as I go through these steps again, and review, when I get to step four, I know what I have to work on, resentments. Oh God, I am not, I have hanging next to me here, the acceptance up from page 417 and all about resentments, because that's my biggest defect is I want a fancy car. I want a big house. I want money like them. And then I think of people that I know that have that aren't alcoholics, but struggle with life in general. And I'm saying, you know what? My life is just fine the way it is. And I truly believe that. So for anybody that's struggling with the whole idea of step three, you know, just sit back. Bless you, Jackie. Just sit back and try to listen to what people say. And you know what? I always align myself with people that I admire. When I first got sober, there was a nurse in the ER. And I used to go out there and I would see this woman. She was so together. Like the craziness of the ER is going on. And she was so together. And then later in my sobriety, I walked into a meeting one night and there she was. And I said to myself, ha-ha, that's what I want. I want that serenity. I want that peace. I want that, you know, sit back and go, well, this is life. So this is what I've got. So let me make the best of it. And I have to tell you, I am going through a huge change in my life right now. I have lived in this house since 1995. I am moving to Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville in Hardeeville, South Carolina. Now, people say to me, what's a drunk going to Jimmy Buffett? Well, I tell them, I'm not going to drink, I'm going to dance. Because I'm going to tell you, I never in a million years thought that I would live in a 55 and over community until I went to Margaritaville. My one sister already moved down there, and my other sister and I are building homes there. So that's going to be a big change. And in the old days, it would have been a geographic change to get away from me and my drinking. And now it's a geographic change to continue to have a serene and peaceful and fun life. I am 70 years old. I don't act it. I never will. For my celebration, I wore if anybody remembers, a Jessica McClintock gunny sack dress and Betsy Johnson glitter high tops. So, you know, I'm a crazy alcoholic that has found a way of living, a design for living through this program and with the help of God that's gotten me this far. You know, my sister Bernadette, God love her. I remember the day she was arrested. 30 years ago, she was arrested with, she was drinking and drugging. And she was arrested. And I remember going to the state police headquarters where she was and try to get her out. And God had a different plan for her. He kept her in jail overnight, and she's never had a drink or a drug since. And that was 30 years ago. And she still thanks the officer that arrested her. She still sends him a thank you note on her sobriety date. So, you know, this works if you work it correctly. And it doesn't have to be perfect. Oh my God, I am not a perfect alcoholic. I am not perfect in this program. I say it all the time. I'm a little crazy, but that's okay. You know, I am not someone that shoves big book down people's throat, but you see how I refer to it to run my life. I don't go around telling people that I see drinking too much. Oh, have you ever thought about going to AA? No, but I'm also pretty open about my sobriety. And so, you know, I share it. And going back to that psych ward where I used to send people was a big step for me because there were people there that worked with me, but I didn't care. You know, I'm to the point in my life where if you don't like that I'm sober, oh, well, my sisters love it because I'm designated driver. So I just want to close out with just a recap of how my life is just so wonderful right now. I mean, it really is. I mean, here I am moving to Margaritaville. God knows how I found the money, you know, but I did because I stayed on a plan and I have faith. And when my sister gets a little bit off sorts, I can say to her, you know, there is a way, and I have a program. And just real quickly, her ex-husband, he left when she was 8 months pregnant, is drinking himself to death right now. So my poor niece is going to have to watch her father die of alcoholism. And thank God she has me to be there for her when that happens, because she does come to me. So with that, I am going to close out and thank you so much for being. Look at all these great faces. This is great. So thank you. It was an honor to be here with you.